So I'm just going to go over a quick thing of what we've been sharing so far. We started with the fact that we had an invitation for a free cruise on a cruise ship. And so we found out that it wasn't, that this cruise ship called Noah's Ark is not a romantic getaway. It's a family getaway, and let's see, we got the boarding passes for Noah's wife, Shem and his wife, Ham and his wife, and Bacon and his wife. But then we started feeling a little suspicious that maybe this Christian cruise, the Christianity cruise, wasn't going to be as vacation-y as it appeared, because we found out we had to build the ship. we had to do that together. We all had to join in and build the ship. And we found three particular words that kept showing up here and just showed up when Jason shared. Total commitment, total involvement, and total environment. And we went through quite a bit that had relationship to that. But as far as the environment, we found out that you have to be the environment. You can't just make one. The only way one can be made is that you have to be that environment. And to do that, you have to commit to it. You have to commit to that, or because it just doesn't happen by following the normal Christian paths of, you know, once a week church and, you know, maybe what we would call devotion times or stuff like that. But a real dedication and giving ourselves. And as we went along, we saw that Jesus was committed unto death, and that the early stages of that, we began to see that you commit yourself to what God is committed to. and then we made a statement a certain distance into this, in the building of this environment, that you don't want to miss the boat. Because it's rainy out there. But then I had here a headline. Wait, there's more exciting news. This is no regular cruise. Announcing Noah and his floating circus and zoo vacation cruise. So we found out that this was going to be a floating circus. And the more we got into it, we found out that it really was, because there were animals everywhere and beasts, you know. And in red letters, I put, wait a minute, we thought our Christianity was meant to be a pleasure cruise. And there's stuff all in between this, but this is the highlights of what we were talking about. And then we found the true reason for the cruise. And we found that in Genesis 6, 5 through 7, we found that God said, I am sorry that I made you. I am sorry that I made you. The actual verse says, it repented me that I have made them. And it grieved him at his heart. And so we were plunged into heart issues and God's heart issues. And we began to realize that there are things in the heart of God that he wants, that he desires, that he's hoped for. And in a very real sense, you could say the devil didn't mess up this plan. We did. We got off from his heart. When you get off from his heart, then you're either in religion or just on your own, doing your own thing. And so we found out that the two things that he was emphasizing was violence and corrupting his way. Verse 12 of chapter 6 was, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way. And we saw his way is Christ. His way is his life, not ours. It's not a religion. It's not it's not doing things for God. It is a total commitment to the heart of God and to the life that he's offered us, which is Christ, a slain lamb. It's a total involvement with God's heart and the life that he has given us, which is a slain lamb. And it is a total environment of God's heart and the lamb that he has given us, a slain lamb, involved in it as our life. And so we came to a place where we realized that there was a necessity of death, that this whole cruise, this whole circus cruise, this whole Noah's floating circus and zoo vacation cruise was actually primarily involved with death, two kinds of death, two kinds of death. Death outside of the ark, outside of the environment, and death inside of the environment. And so we spent some time looking at that. And we saw that one of the things that God had used when they were building the ark was that they pitched it inside and outside with pitch. Any of you guys that were here when you heard that, want to tell them what pitch is? The word pitch, well, go ahead and elaborate.
The word pitch comes from the word atonement.
Yes. The word pitch, that it says they pitch the ark inside and out, and that's Genesis 6, 14. If you look up the word pitch in the Hebrew, it is the same exact word, atonement. And it is closing up the cracks where that which would seep in and sink your ship is keeping the destructive water out. And then let's see, we had Deb sing a little song for us. And so we were trying to figure out how old the first mate was. Y'all remember that one? The first mate is Noah himself. The captain is God. And we said, well, to find out how old the first mate was, we have to check with the captain. We have to check with his log books. And so we read captain's log, stardate 600. Noah's age was 600. And so we moved on from there to, I guess we're getting pretty close here. We talked about all hands on deck, but nobody can get on the deck because it's raining. And we mentioned some things about total involvement. God is totally involved with this plan. Jesus' sacrifice was total in spirit, soul, and body. And that Jesus never called anybody to follow him except that the requirement for the call demanded total involvement with Christ. And there is only one kind of involvement, and it's total. Involvement is with a life, not a work. And how important is that? Especially those of us who've been around for a while, we know. If you're involved with a work, and especially if you're totally involved, that leads to burnout, that leads to all kinds of stuff. Bad attitudes against sheep, stuff like that. Our involvement is with the life, and it's Jesus, and it's the Lamb. And if every day and everything that we do, we're involved with that life, his spirit, his nature, his way, but him. What did David say? I've kept the Lord before my face always. And that's what I want to do. That's all I want to do. I believe that nothing else is worth anything, because it's like getting down to the end of the line and looking back and going, oh my God, and all you can see is wreckage and, you know, death, but not the right kind of death. So there's this desire to find the heart of God and to find the face of Jesus, and to find that the face of Jesus reveals him to be a lamb. And that's what I want formed in me. And then it's a life of loss and self-giving, and but it's done by a spirit instead of, you know, carnal Christians. Can I say it like that? Mm-hmm. You know. oneness demands total involvement. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's total. Right? So what we're doing is we're describing total involvement, not as being involved with a work or a religion or anything else. We're finding that total involvement happens and is an involvement with the Lord in the nature of the way that he is, and a hunger of seeking him. And that brings forth all the other things that are necessary. when it is just one life, then we all have total involvement. When it's just one life, see? You see what I mean? So the terms are a little deceptive. Total involvement, total commitment, total environment. They're sort of deceptive because they sound like religious terms that you have to commit yourself to, and they're not. They are a reality of the heart of the Lord, where you move. You're finding that in within those three things, it fills up everything else because of the just the matter in which they are related to being one with Jesus and the cross. And, you know, I am crucified with Christ. What is that? Total involvement, you know. So let's see. We mentioned that a total environment is not a utopia. And we started with Genesis 1 and the beautiful garden. And then somebody runs up to us and says, hey, there's a snake in the garden. It's not a utopia. There are snakes in there, you know. So we realized that, let's see, we went through several different examples of that. Well, let's see. I've got a lot of stuff here. Well, we talked about Jesus and the 12 and walking with him. And you're looking, you know, you're looking at Jesus walking along with the 12. And if you're outside of that watching, you're going, this group is a mess. This group is a mess. These two guys are trying to be above everybody else, James and John, and this guy's stealing stuff, and this guy's, you know, betraying him, and you're going, you know, this total environment thing is just off. It's, look at that. This is, you know, because we're thinking that it's supposed to be a utopia. We're thinking everything's supposed to be smooth and beautiful and happy and you know, a pleasant cruise, right? And what we find is that God has no intention on making it a happy, sweet, pleasant cruise. He never did, and he never will. His goal is to break down everything that is us, bring it to the cross, and there's no need preaching it to anyone else until we're an environment. We have to be the environment first. There's no need preaching it or trying to establish it. And we see that Jesus was that environment. So we look to the one. We don't look at everything within it that's wrong. And we don't follow that. Amen? We follow Jesus. Someone says, you know, how do you stay here with all this junk going on? You know, well, you know, I saw that guy stealing money and this and that. And how do you do that? Oh, I didn't notice. I'm trying to keep my eyes on Jesus. You know? And you'll have times that your eyes will see stuff. But that's where you have to get your eyes back on Jesus and say, you know, I'm not here. I'm not here for him or her or this or that or, you know, that everything be a utopia. I am here for the Lord. And no matter, you know, we read those scriptures, the 23rd Psalm. We all love it. Oh, gosh, you know, green pastures, still waters. But eventually he's going to take you into death, the valley of death. You're heading there, okay? That's where it's all going to happen, see? And you can call to remembrance the fresh water and the fresh grass and everything, but it's time to enter into the death, you know. And once you do that, then the shepherd is truly your shepherd. The Lord is truly your shepherd, you know. Let's see here. All right. I think that's enough highlights. Let's turn to Genesis 7:17. Yeah, 7:17 through 20. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered. And let's go ahead and read 21 through 23. Genesis 7. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things. Is that a Freudian slip? And the fowls of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth. All right, so you have a contrast of Genesis 7:17 through 20 with Genesis 7:21 through 23. And that contrast is all related to the prevailing of the water. And so we liken the water to the washing of the water, the word. You have that, you know that, in Ephesians 5. And we begin to realize that the waters have purpose, that if there are no waters, if there is no rising of the Word of God within us, if there is no increase and did you notice the power? There's a power of verse 17 through 21, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and it bore up the ark. So you're getting a movement here. You're getting not just a lesson. In other words, if you go to the Word, you don't just get a lesson or see an acute truth or see something like that, but you're there, and it's starting to lift you up out of the earth and away from all flesh that is in the earth. The Word of God, God's heart, God's Word, God's what proceeds out of His heart. And it begins to have an incredible effect because, you know, when all that water started coming, the heavens were opened and all of this water, all this Word was available and coming down, and it's destroying what is flesh. But it's raising up. Rising up, prevailing is the word it's using, and lifting up that which will have His life, that which will be the environment that He set up, and stable in that, and had committed to it. I mean, can't you imagine that maybe one day when Noah and his family was building the ark, maybe some neighbor, a good guy, said, "Hey, I'll help," and he worked for a few days and then left, you know. I mean, what if there was that? Okay, but total commitment in that ark. Once you get in that ark, that's your life. That's your life. No matter what's going on in there, no matter how tough that seems, that is your life.
Amen.
And you learn to deal with it. You learn to live with it. You learn to live with it by the life of the Lord. But see, the environment, again, can't just be inside the ark. It has to be in you. And that's why it says later, or, you know, that Noah, the only thing that lived was Noah and those that were with him in the ark. And that is powerful. That is powerful. Because he was living. See. He was living. And then you see that all that water coming down, and for Noah and for those in the ark, it's just lifting them up out of the flesh. It is. It's lifting them out of the flesh. Up. Seek those things which are above. It's lifting you out of that. But then you see and this is the way I saw it, then you see it having a profound effect on you, that the waters of the deep are being broken up. And now the seeds of the word that you put in you that was only scripture starts coming alive, and it's breaking forth and lifting you up too. You know, it's breaking up all the waters of the deep, and it's moving you finally.
Yes.
And it's moving you up, and it's moving you towards him, but it's also moving you away from all flesh. And that's not just moving you away from it, it's destroying it. So this is the word of God, the word of the cross.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's the word of the cross. And it's the power of the cross and the word of the cross. Paul, that's what Paul said. God forbid that I preach anything but Christ and him crucified. But then he says, right after that, but I came to you in fear and trembling. And, you know, it was as if he was weak and not strong, but he'd found strength. He'd found life. He'd found something that could move him. And then if it moves him, it'll move someone else. Amen? I mean, that's what we want.
Yes, Lord.
You know. It is a sad thing to have to preach to dead flesh. You know, this is like being in the ark, and you look out the window and you see these bodies float, and you say, turn in your Bibles to, you know. It's a sad thing. But it's a good thing if what's floating on that water is your flesh.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Now you're excited. Now you're going, yes, it's real, it's real, it's real. It isn't just good teaching. And even true teaching that bears witness, but it doesn't swing the sword, right? Doesn't swing the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what the Word says. Scripture says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Slay me. We've talked about it. We've had sessions. We've had times here in Ireland where we even swung swords. Woohoo! You know, well, you're a good sword swinger. Have you hit any flesh yet? You know. Well, I accidentally hit my ankle when I came back with it. But, you know, are you still alive? Yes. You know. My Lord, the Spirit of God wants to start breaking open the waters that are deep within you to start bringing forth the life of Christ. And to add to all that is in heaven and all the reality that is there. And the only purpose for that to come down is not to make a pleasure cruise. It's not to make the earth better. It's not to refreshing people with fresh water for their flesh so that they go, oh, you know, this is what I want. I mean, the water's supposed to kill you. And it does when I drink it. Because I don't drink water. But anyway. And so but that's our view. That's what we're thinking about. That's what we're doing, you know. And you know, keep your place obviously there, but look in 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter 2 and verse 5. And spared not the old. Amen. How about we just stop right there? Spare not the old. Stop trying to preserve the old. Just start getting your heart ready to be with the Lord, to press and say, God, I'm really serious now. I want to get out of the old and I want to live in the new. And I'm not going to get there unless I get in the ark. And I'm not going to get there unless the waters rise. And prevail in me. Prevail. I need the waters to prevail. I don't, you know, I can know all kind of stuff, but if it's not prevailing, and it won't prevail until it's rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained, and you're going, you know, I searched the scriptures a couple of days ago. You know, it's like that's part of the environment, isn't it? I need to be here. This is where I need, in the Word, crying out and seeking Him and saying, you know, Lord, do this. So He spared not the old. And God doesn't want to spare the old. That's not His, you know, deal. He's not trying to preserve our old happy days, you know. He's trying to bring forth His Son, and He's going to do that by the water of the Word that washes us and kills out our flesh. Yeah. When I say washes us anew to who we are and what we are in Him and by Him and through Him and to Him all things. That's the scripture. In Him and to Him and through Him are all things. Okay, well, we can go, yes, yes, look at Him far away on a throne and go, yes, amen. In Him and through Him and to Him. Was that true in you? No, not at all. But yes, it said in Him. Where are you located? Why, right here, worshiping that stuff that's in Him? No, you're in Him. Paul said in being found, I finally want to be found in Him. You know, I want to be found. You know, you look at people and you say, well, they seem to be walking in Him. And one day you're walking along and they go, hey, when did you get in here? I'm found in Him. You know? We want the Lord. We want the Lord. We want the Lord. The only thing that matters, the only thing that counts is Paul said, I press towards the mark. We know these verses. They can't be verses. It can't be. We have to just at one point go, you know what? I really need to trash every bit of my rubbish. I need to trash every bit of my rubbish. Yes, I'm going to stop living in a mobile home that's this high in trash. Living as a traveler, whatever. I'm gonna break out. I'm gonna do it. Doggone it. You put seed in me. There are waters in the deep, and I want them to just break out. And just, I love the way that the scriptures say that too. It's just like it. The waters of the deep were broken up. Man. So everything that's been put in you is not gone. It's not wasted. You go, well, I got nothing. Oh, you got waters of the deep. You do. You got stuff that God's been putting in you. But you get discouraged because you try to call it up. You go, okay, how did that little section of water, that cup, that little cup of water go? You know what I mean? How did that go? You know, let's see. Let me put tea leaves in here and I'll read it. No. You're going at it wrong. You say, I don't know why this isn't working. Well, because you ain't working it right. Because you're not walking in it right. Because you're not, but maybe because you're not, you don't have total commitment and total involvement and, you know, right? Total environment? Have you made your environment of yourself total? Well, here's how you do it. I'm crucified with Christ. That's total.
Praise God.
That's total. So you have to commit to that.
Amen.
You say, well, Randy, I'm totally committed now. I'm with you. I don't want you. He wants you.
That's right.
Wait, I'm not done. He wants you. Dead. That's what, yeah, you know. He'd like to see you floating on the water.
So would I.
Right?
Yes.
He will, it's like, I'm the ark, and anything that's in me is in me, but if you're flesh, I need you floating out here.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Can you be both?
Yes,
you can, because your flesh is dead and I am crucified, and so I'm going to reckon it not in the boat, but out here.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm going to reckon that He is my life. That's total. That's total. So, we didn't get very far in this verse, did we? 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I like the way that that's worded. I really do. Okay, watch this. See if this bears witness with you. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, who was a preacher of righteousness, who was bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That he was preaching, and then so doing it, he is bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, which could be within himself too. So I said, Holy Spirit, is there any truth though that this is saying that in that sense he's a preacher of righteousness by bringing in the flood? And then the Spirit of God said, Noah preached the cross. That's what he's preaching. And he preached total environment. He did. He preached death. He went around, some people say for 120 years, but he went around and was preaching before the flood. And he was saying, death's coming, but there is an environment of life. But you'll die in there, but you'll rise up on the waters, and it'll take you into a new creation. New creation. And you'll just stay with it, because it's going to take a while for all the beasts in you to be exposed. Stay with it, because if you look up towards the window up there, you'll see a dove. You'll see a dove. He's not flying yet. He's waiting. He's waiting to bring forth evidence of something outside of here that no one has ever laid eyes on. Because until you do, it's like no one has ever laid their eyes on it. And we say, well, yes, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. I'm in Christ, so I'm a new creation. Well, you act like a beast in the bottom of the ark, wallowing around in the poop. You know, it needs to end. It needs to end. And it's not going to end by, I'll say this, it's not going to end by committing yourself to like Acts Bible School. It has to do with Christ. It has to do, yes, you may get the word and it may pound you and work on you. That's the purpose of an environment. But you have to do that. We actually have people who have graduated from our school that don't know any more than they did when they went in, hardly when it comes to reality. We got at least... I was going to say, we've got at least Marcia here who's after the Lord. Why'd you all expose yourself like that?
Because we want Jesus.
I'm tricky, aren't I? Tricky. Okay. So, he's preaching the cross. He's preaching, look, here's the deal. You know, this is the same message came to Abraham. You're going to have to leave your father and mother. You're going to have to get on board the glory train that is not glory at all. not glorious at all. You're going to have to leave your work. You're going to have to leave all the things that you think are important, and you're going to have to take up the cross and follow him. There's a death coming, but there's also another death in the ark. Okay, so both deaths are ours. Both deaths. They're ours. They belong to us. The first death is the waters of the word choking out our flesh. Choking out, drowning, choking out our flesh by the cross. And the second one is in the ark, which we may get a good example of that tonight. I think we will. Or at least it'll start. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. A preacher of righteousness, but he's talking about God's righteousness. Because remember, all flesh had corrupted his way, and that included who?
Noah.
But when the next verse says, but Noah found grace. It didn't say Noah, you know, hadn't corrupted God's way. And in a very real way, we could say everybody in this room has corrupted his way at some time or whatever in our walk. We need to, you know, we need to find grace, but what is it for? It's not grace just that you're going to be saved. It's grace that you're going to be in an environment of my doing so that I am working everything. All things are going to be working for good. And if you step inside this ark, you need to believe that all things are going to work
together
to bring me into the image of Christ. You have to believe that, or you might as well just drown out there, because your life out there was that way. You didn't believe it out there. So this is trying to bring you into something. And it's like I hate to say it like this because it's not the right wording, but it's like a forced environment in that it helps you to settle certain things. You know, okay, I believe, you know, I step in here as it were. I believe that God built this thing. I believe that God is working all things. He wants me conformed to the image of Christ. Yeah. And so you say, well, does that tiger over there want that? You know what I'm saying? Is that tiger, you know? Are you sure it all works? Isn't that interesting wording? All things work. It all works. It all works. That would bring so much hope if you really believed that. That it all works. It all works together, but it all works to bring you to the image of Christ. But if you don't believe it, it doesn't. You don't. Well, I love God. No, you don't love God in the way that he's talking about to believe that all things, he's the one saying all things work together for good, that you may be conformed to his image. So to love him, I believe, must include, I love you enough to go with you. What you say is true. And so I not only love you and now am going to believe your word that this is all working together for the good, that I may be conformed to the image of Christ, but that working is going to work. And it's going to work to do exactly what it says it does. It's like if you bought a machine and you bought it to do this thing right here and it didn't do that, then you would say, even though it looked like it was working and you plug it in and you flip the switch and go, but it doesn't do what you wanted it to do, you would say, this doesn't work. You know? Well, that's where you need to take your little machine and dump it in the rubbish bin. Sorry, Scottish right there. Into the garbage bin, not the recycle. Right. And if you're not sure, ask a nun. Yeah. Okay. See, she knows. All right. So, Noah, in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, he is declaring the things that are on God's heart. God's going to bring a flood. Okay, so you can look at this as for sinners, but let's keep at times looking at this as what's wrong with us, the flesh that's within us. He's bringing a flood upon the old creation. He's bringing a flood on all that you built your life on. They were marrying, giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking and da-da-da-da. And knew not when the flood should come. That's also New Testament scripture. He's going to bring a flood on the way that you have formed your life. Now that's actually good news. There's hope in that. Especially if you're hopeless. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm telling you that there now it's like now then that's some answers. Yeah. I could go with that. Amen. But you have to follow through. You know, you don't just go, I embrace the truth that God is bringing a flood upon my flesh. And every month I offer a tiny portion of 3 cells of my flesh to God. You know. Take it, Lord, and let your fire fall upon those dead cells that are already they're already dead and worthless to you. But go ahead. You know. I quit living by those weeks ago because they died. But I have new coming up every day, way more than those three. But I'm so with you, you know. I had another thought, but I won't say that one. He preached death. He preached the cross. He preached an environment, not just death. He didn't just say death, an end, no hope. You understand? The cross, the cross, the cross, no hope, just death. No, he didn't preach that. He preached, but, we're working on something, me and my sons and my daughters, because it's taken every one of us because we're all totally involved, totally committed to this. We're working on something that can, you know, remedy that and bring you into a whole new environment, whole new way of thinking. But the way it's going to do that is it's going to be an interim trip, not a pleasure cruise, an interim trip from the moment you get in to the moment the dove shows up and gives you hope that we're fixing to enter into.
Yes.
Nobody knows what that looks like but the people who first step in. And nobody that's ever stepped in can fully explain it to you until you step in. You know. Wow. And I think about, you know, jumping ahead a little bit, but I think about Noah and the family and all the animals and how long from the moment that they landed on Mount Ararat, how long they had to sit there knowing it was out there, and wait, and still wait, and deal with anticipation, and you get frustrated, you know, because you want, I want this, I want this, I gave away everything, I got into this. But it's still God dealing with you. There are things that need to be dealt with. There are things that need to be dealt with. Anyway, so let's read 7:17 through 20 again. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased. Okay, so there is the need for an increase of the waters. That's the Word of God, but that's not just reading your Bible. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You can read your Bible and not be taking in the waters of the Word, you know, and taking it in light of the Word of that Noah preached, that this thing is meant to destroy all flesh. But with the promise that the heavens will come down and the waters of the deep shall be broken up. My God, I would think anybody that really loves Jesus, that's exactly what they would want. Because that will bring you to the fullness of the new. You'll have everything that you need. You'll be, you know, armed and dangerous. Because you'll be ready for whatever, and you step out there. But if you don't perceive that, do you believe you can make that trip and not even perceive what's... Do you think that that actually happened to anybody?
Yeah.
Good for y'all. Y'all are at least scripture searchers. At the very least, you're scripture searchers. And hopefully, the waters of the deep are breaking up in you more and more. Hallelujah. They increased and the waters increased and bear up the ark. Bear, let's move more towards the Lord. Let's move more towards the light. Let's move more toward the higher ground that He wants in us. I want higher ground, you know?
Yes.
And it does that. And it was lifted up above the earth. It was lifted up above the earth. Oh, my Lord. I mean, these are wonderful words of life. Or it's just a neat little story. We can make it any way we want to because of our environment.
That's right. That's right. That's
you know.
Right.
See. And I believe, you know, I believe that Noah and his family, when they got, you know, as they're walking onto the ark, you know, as they're entering the ark, it's already starting to rain. They'd never seen rain before, but they'd been told this was coming. And I think that they might have had people there that are going, what the heck is going on? But, hey, there's this friend of mine, we were lifelong friends, or there was our neighbors, or there was the, remember this guy and what he did, or this and that and everything, and you, the trip from here to once you step off the ark into the new creation, you got to get rid of that stuff. All the beasts have to be dealt with, in a sense, within you, and you have to... say, regardless whether good or bad, this is no longer my life.
Amen.
If you don't say that, then you can say, God, take it.
Yeah.
But He's not going to take it. He's not, you know,
right.
He's not a robber. You know, you have to say, that's not me anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know. And I'm not even talking about your old life before you received Jesus. You do realize that. I'm talking about the life that you built out of the scriptures, like a house made of sand, adding scriptures and make this little house that you dwell in. And you dwell in there and, you know, you some of those scriptures point back and say, well, they shouldn't have done that. Or, you know what I'm saying? You know? Some of them are talking about, you know, you're the righteousness of God, but you leave off the little last part that says in Him. And you're going, yes, You know, and you've got your righteousnesses and your self-pities and your angers and your whatever. You got all of that. God is saying, by the very nature of this trip, you have to leave there.
Amen.
And if you don't leave it there, you cannot leave it, you know, you cannot take it in to the new of what he's trying to bring forth. And you do understand the new creation we're talking about is not heaven, right? I hope
yes.
you understand that. You know, it's walking into the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and verse 18, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly. See, before it said the waters increased. Now it says they're increasing greatly. Does that happen? Does it? Does it really? Does it really? If you start getting a foothold into this and the Spirit of God starts it, doesn't it feel sometimes like that snowball at the top of the hill and you just make a little snowball and you give it a little push down a long hill and it starts gathering momentum and gathering. And at first, I mean, sometimes it looks like I have to give it an extra little push at the first. You know, come on, little fella, a little snowball, you know, and give it a push. And maybe you do, and you do that. But once it starts going, man, it starts rolling and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the house is down there, it can take out a house. Well, the waters increased in verse 17, but in verse 18, they increased greatly upon the earth, the earth life. Increased greatly. All right, so this is all reality here. This is spiritual reality. This is, we can hear this and go, oh, that was one of the best sermons I'd heard in the last 2 days. You know? But somebody needs to say, hear my Lord.
Amen.
Send me on this cruise.
Amen.
Send me on this circus cruise.
Amen.
You know?
Right.
And were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the water. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. You're living, your life, your understanding is now flowing based on the Word of God, the heart of God. You're going on the face of it. Oh my Lord. It's you're already lifted up. The flesh is already starting to be dealt with. But you're getting to a place where you're moving on the face of the waters. That means the Word of God is holding you. The Word of God is moving you. But it's not Scripture. It's God's word to you. It's as if he's speaking to you himself. It's as if that scripture applies to me. And all of them do. And yes, Lord. And we end up saying a lot of yes, Lords. You know, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No, Randy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No, Randy. You know? You know, it's like a steel rod on the inside of you. It's stronger than your flesh ever was. It holds you and keeps you. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly. That's just really good because it says they increased, and then they increased exceedingly, and then that said it they prevailed, and then again it says they prevailed exceedingly. And that's that momentum. That's that momentum. I mean, we have people in this room that pretty much don't do anything without having the Word on in some form all the time. In the car or in their house or when they're washing dishes or when they're doing this. And when they're not listening to it, they're reading it. And when they're not reading it, they're around people that are sharing it. And it's like, this is it. This is starting to, you know, to prevail. And then after a while you go, this is starting to prevail exceedingly. That's what you want. Or, you know, your waters go down and then you start, you know, bumping on the top of cars. Well, I'm still up. Yeah, you know, I'm still up. I don't want to get stuck on this roof of this car, you know. In the trip here, I want to go higher. I want to go more. I want to go deeper and higher and yes. wider. And, yes. you know, he's the length and the breadth and the height and the depth. And then there's me. And I need to go, I need to let that just go. Yes. Wash me away.
Yes.
So that it's his fullness. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Yeah. You know, it is like God is saying, okay, the people are full of violence and they've corrupted their way, my way. They've corrupted my way in every way that they can. And that flesh needs to be gone. But then he says, and this earth needs to be cleansed. The flesh is gone, but it still stinks of humanity. And it needs to be washed. Washed. New heaven and new earth. Washed of all flesh. So that when you step out, you go, wow, I smell barbecue. No. You know, no, it is the sweetness of, the only thing you're smelling is Noah's sacrifice.
Amen.
The sweet savor of the lamb going Ooh. Up. And you go, well, this is refreshing.
Yeah.
There's nothing else here. You know, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's finish this verse and then we'll be done. Well, verse 19 and 20. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under heaven were covered. All of that pride and all of that thing that causes us to lift up and say, and you know, that's one reason why we get all upset with everything, and you know, all things can't work because this has interfered with my pride or with my flesh in some way, and it's like, you know, you're disturbing me with, you know what I mean? You're disturbing me. Well, it's your flesh. It's your pride. It's, you know, you. It's your high mountains that, you know, you're disturbing me in a way that, you know, a couple of rocks got knocked off my high mountain. You know, and I'm not quite as high as I was. Yeah, Ben.
That are kind of out in the middle. Mm. And the boat doesn't just hit it, the boat gets stuck on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it stops you.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you're lodged on that thing. And just how, like, that's how the flesh is.
Yeah.
Like, if you just bumped against it, that'd be okay.
Right.
But it grabs you.
That's right.
And you're stuck there until you got to get out, you got to get oars out, you got to push yourself off. But just how, like you said, you know, it's like our pride or something. It's like, you know, I know in me, that stuff, I don't just bump against it. It holds you there. And it'll hold you there forever.
Right.
Unless you dislodge yourself.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or, if we can put it, if the...
Well, that's the whole thing.
The rise.
You have to be in deeper water.
Right.
You're not going anywhere. But yeah. I mean, that would do it too.
You're stuck there, and all of a sudden the Lord starts it raining, and then the river starts getting higher, and then you go, woohoo! Amen. Yeah, we're going to deal with that in just a second. Okay, so the waters prevailed, see, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven. Okay, so here's the way God's looking at that. There's all this high stuff going on. There's all this exalted stuff. There's all these attitudes of, what's the name of the king?
King Awesome.
King Awesome. There's all the King Awesome stuff. You know, I'm awesome and my kingdom is awesome. And guess what? You know, I know that's funny, but all of you have King Awesome in you. If it's the cross hadn't taken care of that, then, you know, I jokingly, after they did their thing, went up to Kelly and I said, that was just great. And I told you too. I said, that King Awesome guy really moved me. You know, I feel like I need to move into that realm, you know. And, you know, God has more for me than I know.
I'm inspired.
I'm inspired, you know. I could be called Emperor Awesome. Which can actually happen in us, you know. All these high hills and mountains and things that we've built up in our own self, and they either have to come down or they're going to have to be washed over by the flood of the Word. It's going to have to just literally cover it up. And I love the wording. First of all, the high hills, that's the first thing. The second thing is under the whole heaven. My God, they're everywhere on the earth. You know, it's everywhere. And then we're covered.
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't, you know, he didn't just, you know, wash them or something, you know. And then verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered. So he talks about the high hills in verse 19. Verse 20 is the mountains. And they're covered. So 15 cubits upward. So that's, he's making sure it's all covered. You know how high a cubit is? Do you realize? I don't either. But anyway. But I'm pretty sure it's a lot. Yeah, you could drown in it. Yeah, you could drown in 2 feet of water sometimes. All right, so I think the Lord's point has been made. And, you know, it's just really comes down as, because we're moving along in realities of his heart. And this is a huge reality of his heart. The cross. The cross is a big deal to God. And Paul saw that. And he said, I'm determined not to preach anything but Christ and him crucified. Well, that's reducing it down a bit, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Well, what about the pygmies in Africa? You know? They need the cross.
Yeah.
You know, even if they're littler ones, they need those cross. Oh God, this will go end up in Africa somewhere, and they'll hear this sermon and go, where's that guy? And it's over with, you know. Lord, I wanted to die on a cross, but a pygmy got me with a poison dart. I'm sorry. But it is this thing of the heart of God. I mean, there is no need talking about the heart of God if you don't mention the cross. That's the focal point of God's plan. When the fullness of time comes, God sent forth his Son made to die on the cross. He calls that the fullness of all time. Not this was the lowest point in human history. They killed my Son. I'm very angry. But I've got the Spirit of the Lamb. I'm holding it in. No, no, no. He's saying, this is the fullness of all time. This is the meaning of all time. This is where you will understand me and my nature. This will be where you will find all freedom, right here. So, You know, so we have to get in the Word. We have to be single-minded. You have to, two things come to my mind right now. You have to be single-minded and you have to redeem the time.
Yes, Lord.
The scriptures say both. To be single-minded is, like Paul, he didn't say, I'm determined to preach Christ and Him crucified. He said, I am determined not to know anything else. Well, that's single-minded. Well, but, you know, I kind of like this area of, you know, somebody laying hands on me and I fall backwards and get slain in the Spirit. Slain in the Spirit is not going to be in a service where somebody lays hands on you and you fall back. Slain in the Spirit is at the cross when you go down and you don't get up. That's what he wants. But we go, but it feels so good. There's your first clue. There's your first clue. You know, I'm not saying it's not of God. I'm just saying there's a greater slaying that we need. And it's not even of us. It's the slain lamb first. We need to see what God set on the throne to rule. A slaughtered lamb. The slain lamb. And then the other is to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Now that doesn't mean, and I don't want you to think of it in that term, that you can't have fun on this trip. We've designed it where you will have fun. And we want you to. And I was blessed when I walked out the door. There's a table there and four people there and four Bibles open. And I was just going, take me now. Yeah. Before everyone else comes out. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm Jewish. Anyway. But, you know, we're here for the Lord first, right? You know. And when Kelly says social stuff, you know, she's not talking about having fun or whatever. But there's a spirit, I'm just going to say it, there's a spirit to this social thing that is wrong. I don't know how to tell you. It's just wrong. It's, you can talk, you can laugh, you can do all this stuff and not have that spirit mixed in with it, you know? And I do it, you know that. I do it. But my heart never leaves the Lord. I want the Lord. And you can try, you can test me, because if you say anything about the Word, I will immediately just, I'm there. Because that's where I live and move and have my being. And you know, yes, I want more. Yes, I've not yet attained. Yes, I press. I'm still pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. And I will to my dying day. You say, well, how can you be assured of that? Because Jesus is my assurance. He's taking over inside of here, you know? So that's, you know, that's not, Christ in me is my hope, but he's also my reality. You know, you can have a hope and not have any reality of it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Well, he's my hope and my reality. And so it just fortifies my hope more and more. And the Spirit of God, when you open the Word and He just starts pouring, you know, it's like, for this gathering, not today, but the whole one that we've had in Ballinall up to here and everything, it was like I opened my Bible and the Ark flowed out and into me, you know. It was like, whoa, you know. It wasn't like the Holy Spirit going, you know the meaning of those verses right there, you know. It'll make you look really spiritual. So say this, because I'm really interested in your high heels getting to be mountains. No. He is not giving you stuff so that you can impress anybody. He's giving you His Son. The Father is giving you His Son, and He's supposed to fill you, and he's supposed to move all of those mountains of social and any form of flesh. You know, we go, oh, the flesh, yeah, that's bad stuff. You know, we think of all these you know, the, well, yeah, or the seven deadly sins or whatever, you know. And, you know, he's going, no, no, it's you there just standing there the way you are, or the way you talk, or the way that you, you know, your motives that are going on behind you when you're da-da-da-da. You go, ah, flood me now. And then you're on the right track, because we all have growth yet that we need. But we all need to stand with him and say, flood me now, flood me now. So let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, what can we say? What can we say in prayer? We just want to express our heart to you. We want to express that your heart is what we want. That even the renovation of our heart will never be what your heart working in us, according to the new covenant, will be. We don't want to just read scriptures and agree with them with no reality of it. We don't want to say we're in the new covenant unless we have a new heart and a new spirit, and that that's working and alive and giving back to you, satisfying you, filling you up instead of just us. So we sigh, we breathe heavily as we pray, because we know that our words are not sufficient. We know that your spirit has moved upon us in this gathering, and there are things that we desire. We want to be in the ark instead of outside of it with our ways. We want to be in the ark and yet able to deal with beasts around us and save them too. We want to preserve everything in there instead of kill it off so that we can live more comfortably or feel more safe. We want to be able to live by Christ in the worst of situations. We want Jesus to that degree, even to the degree of being hung on a cross. We want Christ in that way so that we can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, but I do. Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that are hard, if it could speak, could say more perfectly than our mouths. So we ask you that not just at this moment to look at our heart, but while your word was going forth, while your spirit was falling upon us, that in those moments throughout, that you could look on our heart and see that we agreed, see that we cried, see that the tears in our heart rolled down because of our longing. See those moments, because though, even though they were moments, even though we can't always recall that back up, Father, that's our core. That's what we really want. So we long after you. We cry. We reach our arms. We weep. We just tell you. Make real the Word of God into the Word, the realities of your heart. The realities of your heart as you see it, as you want it, as you desire it, for your good pleasure. And may we at the same time, Father, when we talk about all flesh, Father, please, please, all religious flesh, we all have it. I still have it. I don't want it. I believe it's your enemy. I believe that It's a facade. It's a mask covering itself as your son, making me feel like I'm okay when it needs to be, that mask needs to be ripped off, and I need to have it ripped off and look into your face and say, that's the best thing that happened to me instead of the worst. So we love you. We love your son. We love your spirit. We love that you took the time to gather us together in this place. We love that you're more than our friend. You're our everything. You said of your son, Christ is all and in all. He's all. He is all. We have no clue what that means yet. We barely know what could count what we know that it means. But you know what it means. And you are called Father. You are called Father. And Jesus told us to call you Father because a new spirit came into us that cries, Abba, Father, the spirit of your son. So we don't cry as humans and call you Father. But by the very Spirit, that new Spirit, Christ, the Son, cries, Abba, Father. We cry unto you and we say, do it, lead us, bring us more and more into the family spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.